2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and go!
Welcome to Walk It Off. I'm Danny Wexelman with Gemma Kaneko and Ashley Chavez, as always. Guys, how are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good. Gemma, what's up?
You know, getting ready for All-Star.
Everyone's
real busy.
Running around. That's right.
Yeah.
So we're just going to jump right in because there's two really big topics that we want to talk about, and then we have some predictions to make for the upcoming weeks. When this comes out, by the time this comes out, all the final voting will be done for All-Star. So you'll know your rosters, you'll know who's starting. It's pretty exciting. I mean, I'm sure we can pretty much figure out who that's going to be. But we're going to actually talk about the Home Run Derby first because Logan Morrison basically kind of shook the game up a little bit with his comments. He said, he was talking about Gary Sanchez. He said, Gary shouldn't be there. Gary's a great player, but he shouldn't be in the Home Run Derby. He's obviously referring to his numbers compared to Gary Sanchez's numbers, which is, you know, I guess part of what goes into Home Run Derby choosing who's going to be in it. But there's a couple other factors too, I think. And then Gary Sanchez responded and said, it's an honor to participate in the event. It's not my fault that he didn't get selected. And I don't know how Gary Sanchez said that sentence, but in my mind, he probably said it like that. Only Brian Hoke, our Yankees reporter, knows how he actually said it. So anyway, what we need to decide is how Logan Morrison handled this situation, because we kind of just saw this with Miguel Montero calling out Jake Arrieta, right? So we don't normally see guys voice personal opinions. Trend or trash, Lomo's decision to call out Gary Sanchez because he got a Home Run Derby invite and Logan Morrison did not. Gemma.
Well, I obviously trashed this. Sorry, dude. Like, sorry you didn't get to come. Like, call your friends and complain about it. I don't feel like you need to complain to the national media about it. It's a little extreme. It's also, like, the Home Run Derby is fun. It's for fun. It doesn't determine who even wins a World Series. Like, none of that matters. It's just because we want to see guys hit dingers. Like, that is the purpose of the Home Run Derby. And I mean, he should just go, like, have a public BP somewhere, and then he can be like, I'm going to hit my own home runs. Like, do something like that. Don't complain. That's how I feel about it.
Ash. Yeah, I completely agree. It's a little petty. So, yeah, I'm going to trash this. It's the Home Run Derby, man. No one has cared about this in a long time. So, to form another opinion, just to be a little bit different, it is kind of fun that someone actually cares right now. And maybe it'll get more people on board with caring, because I feel like more often than not, guys are bowing out because they don't want to do this. And now here's someone of Logan Morrison's caliber saying, wait, I want to be in it. But I kind of like that because, you know, let's build something up for the Home Run Derby. We like it, but let's also see the players like it as well. That's fun. But absolutely, Gary Sanchez should be in it because this is fun. It's not about your numbers whatsoever. I mean, people front like it is, but no, it's who is the most fun to see during batting practice, and I think that's absolutely him. I don't know. I especially hated that quote from Logan Morrison. Like, I remember when I hit 14 home runs last month or whatever, like, a la I remember my first beer kind of situation. It's like, ew, man, this is so petty, but also so funny. Thank you for providing me with this comedy right now.
Okay, for that exact reason, I'm actually trending his decision to call out Gary Sanchez because look at all this buzz and attention that has now been drawn up around the Home Run Derby, which is normally, like everyone has said, it's for fun. It is waiting to see guys who kill batting practice and are the star of the show during that. I mean, listen, do I think that baseball players should be calling out baseball players for a fun activity that doesn't mean anything? No, but I do think that it's nice to sometimes see guys show what they really want to say and do it in a national spotlight and give us something to talk about, because we don't see this. We don't see guys doing this. Miguel Montero got DFA'd a day after he made those comments about Jake Arrieta. Now, did the Cubs probably want to do that? They were probably just waiting for the last straw. Probably, of course. But this is not the same, but it is kind of on that level where we don't see guys talk about it. So I'm trending it. I like that he was fired up about it. He called Gary Sanchez out, and Gary Sanchez responded, which was even cooler. And he took the high road. He didn't say anything bad. He didn't call out Logan Morrison's numbers. But now we have the attention. And I think now, I wouldn't say pressure's on Gary Sanchez, but I would say, like, Gary Sanchez, like, you better hit a few dingers. That's all I got to say.
I think he's going to have a lot of fans for this home run derby just because of his comments. I mean, I know I'll be rooting for him to just
like
murder
the anti-Lomo,
ball,
but
I mean, honestly, like the idea of like, oh, it needs buzz. It has buzz. It has Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton together hitting dingers. Like, that is all the buzz I needed for this event, frankly.
No, I do think that it's getting a lot more buzz for fans now, which is great. It's just nice to see the players actually care about it.
Yeah,
even if
I like
it is someone that didn't make it. Yeah,
exactly. I liked seeing that he was kind of like, "Oh, my feelings are hurt," and you know, there could be upsets in the home run derby bracket, right? Gary Sanchez could be a dark horse in this. Obviously, everyone. I think the safe bet is Giancarlo Stanton, right? People are like, "Your home turf, your fans, you won last year, so." You know, he's obviously the guy. But Gary Sanchez, who thinks that Gary Sanchez could come and take the whole thing? What do you think, Gemma?
I hope.
I mean, that's definitely a possible outcome. I don't think that that is how it will end, though.
Okay. All right. But he could be a dark horse.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. All right, we like it. Okay, so we're going to move on because obviously the NBA, the heat of their trade season, the off season, a lot of things are going on. And we talked about Gordon Hayward. Last week, we talked about where he could go. Ash, you had some feelings, and you were obviously right about those feelings. Which
I emojied those feelings.
You
out.
Emojied
yeah.
your feelings of him going to the Celtics, which was awesome.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting because the Salt Lake Tribune put out an article from Gordon Munson. He's a columnist. And it was really interesting to read. It kind of felt like Gordon Munson was personally hurt by Gordon Hayward's decision to leave. The title of the article was "Goodbye, Gordon Hayward, Whoever You Are," and it was obviously like an opinion piece. But there's a lot of interesting parts about it. Normally, journalists don't do that. They're not supposed to have an opinion about things like this. But obviously, for an opinion piece, this guy's going to write his, and he did not hold back, to say the least. One of his quotes, he said, like the old Bruce Springsteen song warns, with every wish there comes a curse. And the article basically just details, like, Gordon Hayward, you had everything you could ever want in Utah. Everything that we could give you. We were giving you the money. We were giving you the support. Your fans love you. So, you know, why do you think you have to up and leave? You're not going to like Boston. You're not going to like Tom Brady. So Gordon Munson dug into Gordon Hayward. So, what I want to know, Trend or Trash, your thoughts on how the Salt Lake Tribune columnist Gordon Munson handled Gordon Hayward's departure in his op-ed. Ash.
Well, I'm going to trash it. I don't like that this was a sad love letter, essentially. It was awkward to read because it's like, oh, okay. It's like reading someone's Facebook post that dated someone for a month and was like, you promised us we'd be together forever, blah, blah, blah. I get Gordon Hayward's been there for longer than 2 months, but it's at that same pathetic level. It's like, oh, man, don't make that public. Ooh, I don't want to read this. And, like, scouring through it, I mean, I did read the whole thing. I had to, like, keep my eyes wide open so I didn't, like, wince and, like, look away because it was very painful. But it was just one pathetic thing after another. I also don't like that. We can't do this every time someone leaves a team. You know what I mean? And Kevin Durant leaving OKC, I get that anger because Kevin Durant is a whole new level. He was with OKC for such a long time. They had so much history with him. You know, whatever, I get that pain and I get that anger that came from the OKC fans. But it also does show how young you are in your sports career, I guess sports fandom career, kind of, if you're getting mad every time some star player leaves, especially when they're a young player,
right?
Because this is what happened. And look, OKC got a great player. You can get a great player too, but complaining like this is just showing how new of a fan you are, and I don't like that either. I think you have to understand that this comes with a loss. This comes with losing. You lose players. You lose games. This is a thing that happens as a sports fan, so it's showing that you're a little whiny baby, but also we can't just keep doing this for every time some good player leaves a young team. I can't think of words anymore. Anyways, it's just gross, and I don't like it, and I think it dumbs down when a big, huge lifer does leave and how monumental that actually is.
Gemma, I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
Well, I don't disagree with Ashley. I mean, I feel like this guy, he's like a sports columnist. That's what he does. He writes his opinions about things. And this sports. Does kind of seem like something that, like, you, this is a letter that you write and never send, and you write it so that you can get your feelings out, and not something that you publish for the world. But, you know, I'm not him. I don't know what, you know, maybe he got something out of that. It's also because people, no matter how a player leaves a team, someone's going to have a problem with it. Like, people have also been writing articles saying, oh, Kevin Durant should have said goodbye to his fans the way that Hayward said goodbye to Jazz fans, and everyone did it wrong, but this guy's better, and this guy. So it's like, no one is going to make you happy, ever.
Yeah.
And if he wants to win a championship, let him go do that. Like, if you like a player and you want them to do well, then I feel like you should be like, yes, go out. Go. I love you, so I'll set you free.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay, so I had a few thoughts. One, as a journalist, even if it's an op-ed piece, I don't think I'd do it.
I mean, he's a columnist, though. That's what, like, columnists do.
Sure, but, like, I mean, have you read his other stuff?
He's listed on their site as a columnist, and I was looking at him on Twitter, and he appears to just share his opinions about how he thinks this team should be run.
Well, okay, so whatever. So he's not we're not calling him a journalist, we're just calling him a columnist.
Yeah, there's a difference between those two things.
Asking,
yeah, I would call him a columnist, okay. Yes.
So, I mean, if that's all he's doing, then I guess so. For me, I feel like Gordon Hayward doesn't owe you anything, Gordon Munson. So writing this, I don't even know.
He also wrote a column that he promoted about how John McEnroe shouldn't be yelled at for talking about Serena.
There you go. So he's obviously, I mean, he likes to incite people, and he obviously knows how to rev engines, and he knows how to push the right buttons of people. I don't even know if Utah Jazz fans would feel the same way as him. I'm trashing it because I feel like it could have been written better. In my opinion, and if you wanted to make certain points, I feel like there were better points to make instead of saying, here, Gordon, we're giving you the world, but the world's not good enough for you, so now you're going to go to Boston and you're going to hate your life. It just, I wasn't a fan of it. I didn't like it. And if that's his MO, then he definitely achieved whatever he was trying to achieve. And I don't know how many clicks or views or likes or anything he got on it, but, you know, whatever he was trying to do, I think he achieved. It's interesting to see. I think that I don't know what the general population thinks about Gordon Hayward going to the Celtics, but I mean, these things happen. We see it more and more often in sports, guys leaving, and especially with all these super teams and everything that's going on in the NBA, like, what does this guy expect? So, but again, maybe the goal of the piece was to make people click on it. I did. Shoot. So, if that's what it was, then mission accomplished, Gordon.
I also, one quick thing, and this is, I'm going to support the Cavaliers in this, so just everyone hold on to your butts, okay?
Holding on.
But I especially hated when he said, you're leaving the West, which is the only real conference, blah, 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 blah. And he called the East soft and weak, and then he included the Cavaliers in that. And while, yes, it is off balance, it's a completely off balance league right now, and I do promote and I want more people to go to the East so that it's not and that we see some competition over there, LeBron would eat you alive, Utah Jazz. Like, don't ever say, don't put that in the same sentence. No, no, no. You can't just say, we're part of the West and the East is soft and all they have is the soft Cavaliers, blah, blah, blah. I hated that so much because, no, you are a Jazz fan. Don't forget. You're a Jazz fan. The Jazz would have gotten eaten alive. We all know this. Don't act like you're part of this big old gang that's like, we're all really, really good, and we hate the East, and we always beat the East because that's not the case. So I just want to get that out. I hated that he included himself with the Warriors,
essentially, is
what I'm saying, and get out of here. No, no, no.
Yeah.
Do not.
Listen, I think that if you want to talk about the problems, maybe you should also try to come up with a solution. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
That would have been great. He wrote long enough. I mean, he obviously has enough opinions, so yeah. Try to think of a solution next time.
He has opinions for days, this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing against you personally, Gordon Munson. Just the article you wrote. Okay, let's move on to our predictions. Nat's bullpen, obviously, issues near and far and wide and deep. They acquired K-Rod, who's in AAA right now. He's got the fourth all-time for career saves, but he's obviously not the guy he used to be. Their relievers have a combined 5.19 ERA. So the Nats bullpen will add blank after the deadline, or during the deadline. Before the trade deadline. Not after. Before the trade deadline, the Nats bullpen will add blank.
The Nats bullpen will either add the entirety of the Tigers or Giants bullpen. Two teams who are not contending.
They need the whole thing.
I mean, the whole thing. Yeah, fire sale on both of these organizations.
Ash?
Actually, not the Giants bullpen, because that's not really much of an upgrade.
I mean, Giants bullpen is not that bad, actually. It's just a couple people are struggling a little bit. It's, I mean, in comparison, which is so nice, it's way better than Nats bullpen, so it's like nice seeing an actual dumpster fire and being like, oh, okay, good. Things do get worse. No, but I do think that, I mean, the Giants, as far as them being, needing a fire sale, I don't know. We'll see. I don't want to say no, but we are, like, the Giants are, like, a really strong second-half team. If, like I always preach, that if they do terrible in the first half, it's usually a pretty good second half, and then they pull through somehow. So I'm hoping that we could do that still. We'll see. I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence right now because everyone's getting older. So I can see that happening. But sorry, and I just forgot the question. What is the prediction again? Shoot.
Who will the Nats add? Who will the Nats add before the trade deadline to their bullpen?
God, I don't know. Who's even available that will help?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, because a lot of these guys that would actually represent a real upgrade are on teams that are not going to give them up.
Yeah.
Especially since closers are at a premium these days.
I agree.
Yeah.
I didn't have an answer for that one. I was also struggling to figure that out.
And another thing, too, is that Dusty Baker's always been bad with bullpens, and now he doesn't have anything in a bullpen. Like, he's bad with talented bullpens.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that this is just going to be, like, a problem for a very, very long time and just continue with the Nats always the bridesmaid situation.
All right. Blank will be the first pitcher to 20 wins this season. Just to give you some numbers, Clayton Kershaw's at 13, Chris Sale at 11, Jason Vargas at 12. Alex Wood just went 10-0. He's the fifth starting pitcher in Dodgers history to do that. So he's right there with that whole group of people. What do you think? Really quickly, the Dodgers have the Braves, the Twins, the Giants, the D-backs coming up, and the Red Sox have the Yankees, the Blue Jays, and I can't read my handwriting, and another team coming up over the next few weeks. So just to give you some perspective on who they'll be playing. But is there someone who you think outside that group is going to hit 20 wins first? Who do you think?
Not outside that group. I'd say Chris Sale.
Sale?
Yeah.
I was going to say Chris Sale, too, just to not say Kershaw, not because he is Kershaw, but because that's, like, the easiest answer. I didn't want to give Kershaw, but it's, like, it's always the first person that pops in your head to get 20 wins first, you know? So
I'm going to go Kershaw.
Go Kershaw, so at least someone does it, because someone has to do it.
One of those guys will definitely do it. All right, next 4th of July, Joey Chestnut will eat blank hot dogs. Blah. He ate 72 hot dogs and buns this year, breaking his own record.
Disgusting.
In 10 minutes. Did I say 10 minutes, 72 hot dogs and buns?
How old is he now?
Too old to be doing that.
Because I wonder, like, if this has to get harder the older you get, right? Like any sport?
It makes me
nauseous. Probably hear the
Maybe your stomach just, like, slowly over time expands so big that it gets better as you age.
He probably has two
stomachs.
Except
for the whole, like, heart condition. So like I think you could probably eat more, but you might die faster because of the heart attack.
High sodium content.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
I don't know, man. I hate that this happens. It's so horrible to watch. I cannot
pick a number.
I'm going to say 70. I don't want him to go further than 72. That's horrifying.
Yeah, I'm going steep decline. I'm going to say 65, and some new challenger bursts out of the woodwork totally defeats him. Also, this is illegitimate without Kobayashi, so I don't even care about Joey Chestnut.
I knew that was coming. I'm going to say he falls short of 71 for me. All right, blank will be the MVP of the All-Star game. Ash. Hmm. Gemma.
You know, just for kicks, I'm going to go with Yonder Alonso.
Those are some kicks. Those are some good kicks.
Yeah.
I like that. Yonder. Okay. Yeah. Ash?
I'm going to go with Buster.
Okay.
I need some victories this year. Homer. You know what I mean?
Homer pick. I got it. I'm going Zach Cozart.
I like that answer too.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
He's having the best season of his career. Yeah. I think he's just going to do something really special.
I mean, it's because it would like have to be Aaron Judge to like continue the legend of Aaron Judge. Yeah. But that's not as fun.
No, definitely not as fun.
I take Justin Smoke too. Yeah. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm totally in on that too.
Yeah.
So to end our podcast in the most fitting way that we could, Zach Cozart should name his donkey that he is getting from Joey Votto because he got named to the All-Star team blank.
Captain Canada after Joey.
Okay.
I was going to do a Canadian one too. And I know that Joey Votto is not from Manitoba, but I love saying Manitoba, and that should be a donkey's name. So, Manitoba.
Well, you guys, we all are thinking the same thing because I went with Joey. Joey the donkey. After Joey Votto. Because Joey Votto's making dreams come true for everyone, not just Zach Cozart, but for everybody.
He is truly amazing. I love Joey Votto.
He is. Some things we didn't get to talk about today. Tiger Woods completed his treatment program, so it'll be interesting to see if he tries to come back, if he pulls the Brett Favre move or not, which he's already done multiple times. And then also we didn't talk about David West, who went on the Open Rudd podcast, to kind of talk about players today and guys from the past, whether or not guys from the past who weren't as skilled could compete with the guys of today, which was pretty... I think it was pretty interesting to hear him talk about that. So those are things we didn't get to, but we wanted to talk about. There's a lot that we'll be talking about next week after the Derby and the All-Star Game and the Futures Game. There's so many things happening. Hopefully everyone gets some rest and sleep and makes it out alive because it's going to be a fun one. You can go to cut4.com because there's going to be an explosion of content over there these next few days. Ash, I hope that you're doing awesome. And we'll catch up next week, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Yes. Can't wait.
Now the 2-2. Well hit, down the left field.